Well, hello, darlings, and happy Gemini season. Did you feel the shift yesterday? I am here recording this on Wednesday, day of Mercury. So it's the first day of Mercury in Gemini season. So how did you feel the shift? Did you feel that it was really windy here in Brisbane, which I love. I love when it's cold and windy. So I had the house open. And it was divine. We have been craving sort of this wind to really blow the cobwebs out, you know, because April was huge, as we know, and May has been, you know, an interesting month, which I've obviously spoken about over the past few weeks in Taurus season in May. So I won't, you know, rehash too much. But interestingly enough, the symbol that I'm actually going to start with today. I'm going straight into it today. So I'm going to talk about not the full moon in Sagittarius symbol, but the final symbol of Taurus, 29 degrees of Taurus, the aneretic degree of Taurus, before we go from fixed earth to mutable air. And you feel that. So if you are really sensitive to energies, and I did have quite a lot of people messaging me yesterday being the first day of a Gemini season for us. Ultimately, the sun ingressed into Gemini late on the 20th. So Tuesday, the 21st, we had like our first full day of Gemini season. And if you follow me on Instagram, you could see I was very, very, very busy. I had lots to say. I had lots to chat about. And I do just want to, you know, thank you all for getting back to me. I posed some questions around where you want to see me, and it really just, and hear from me and what's most important for you. Emails definitely feel like a huge thing that people want me to continue with. So I will. They might not be weekly, but they'll definitely be a minimum of monthly, and we'll see where we go. But pretty much where all of my energy goes is the podcast, Instagram, and my emails. And I think that this is working, and obviously Facebook too. I love all of my communities. So yes, I was very busy yesterday, and I really felt that shift. And did you feel that shift? Did you feel the shift from fixed earth to mutable air? It's quite a dynamic shift from earth to air. You know, it happens with all of the signs, right? We go from Taurus to Gemini. We go from Virgo to Libra. We go from Capricorn to Aquarius. So we really, it's sort of like we get lifted up off the ground. And this Taurus season, whilst it's been fertile and magical and manifesting, but what we've been really tending to is setting up the next 14 years of our life. And I'm coming in a full circle moment from 14 years ago myself. And look, I'll speak more into this when things unravel over in our world, but some pretty big things are happening for us as a family. So, and it all stems back to the beginning of the cycle, which just happens to be 14 years ago with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Pisces in 2010. Like, I'm not shitting you. And on some level, it has taken me by surprise what's happening. Not so surprising, but surprising in a way that this is a part of this cycle for us. So I will speak more into that as time goes on. But realistically, we've been in a building phase, and sometimes that can feel frustrating, or it's a holding pattern. And even for someone with a stellium in Taurus, you heard me admit it last week. I said, I am looking forward to Gemini season. And it's the first time, I think, ever that I've, you know, this Taurus season went very quickly as well. I think Mars being in Aries has sort of amplified and sped everything up. Obviously, Venus is at home in Taurus, but there's just been this bit of, you know, there's just been a little bit of Speedy Gonzales sort of energy. But I think that Jupiter just expanded all of that quite quickly. Like, there's like this quickening energy. It's like maybe the physical body hasn't caught up yet, but there's stuff going on in the ethers. And I think that, I do think, hello, we're in Gemini season. Hello, my Mercury's in Gemini. I do a lot of thinking, but I also do a lot of feeling and embodying. Hello, my moon is in fucking Cancer, you know, all the things. But I really feel that this Gemini season is required. And we are seeing Taurus season out with a real bloody kiss to the forehead. We really, really are. It's divine. It's the Midas touch. It is sublime. Realistically, what we've got here is Jupiter, the ruler of the full moon in Sag, which I'm going to totally prep you for in this little potty here, who is at the final degree of Taurus with Venus tomorrow on the 23rd of May, with Venus, who is also at the final degree of Taurus. 29 degrees. So I'm going to start by reading this because I really just feel like I want to anchor into this, and this is going to set the scene for where we go. This is the final Jupiter and Venus kiss in the sign of Taurus for 12 years. This is Jupiter bowing out, tipping his hat to the year that has been. And again, as I shared last week, everyone has these expectations around Jupiter because that's, you know, it's very loud on social media around how blessed this time should be, how abundant and blissful. But Jupiter is a teacher. And yes, whilst he is sort of like a finger of God on some level, you know, and Jupiter and Uranus have come together in Taurus, two planets that really do represent God. You know, the sky god, Zeus. Yeah, there's glory here. There's power. We look at Jupiter, our biggest planet in the solar system. Uranus, the planet that actually spins completely on a different axis. You know, pretty much giving the rest of the solar system the finger. And if you've met Aquarians, often that can be the case. Not always. You know, we've got to remember that the archetype of Aquarius has Saturnian edge when we think back to the traditional ruler of Aquarius, and then the Uranian edge. And Saturn and Uranus are very different planets. But Uranus spins not around like the other planets, but he spins, vertically. But they're all vertical and horizontal. I'm getting my astronomy very wrong right now. But he doesn't spin the same way as everyone else spins because he's a rebel, you know, because he's a rebel. So we've just had Jupiter and Uranus come together. And if nothing monumental has changed or it's slowly unfolding, as I said last week, these planets have also just sort of met the sun has met them. They've been burnt up. They've got maybe some new information now. And as the sun moves away from these two planets, we too get space. We too get clarity. We too begin to get some movement and some momentum. The shift of energy comes. And the Sagittarius full moon is delightful. But this Jupiter-Venus kiss, you know, to have both benefics in Taurus is pretty divine. And I have read somewhere, and I don't know what astrologer said it, but they're like, no matter what planet is in Taurus, often it's also like a very benefic kiss. And I really resonated with that. I was like, I really feel that strongly, not only because of, you know, the mythology of the bull pretty much being everywhere, but there is some, it's Venusian, right? Like it's a Venus ruled sign. So even though Uranus is said to be not happy in Taurus, which it's not, you know, Uranus wants freedom and movement and, you know, there's, you know, restless energy there, right? But also slow and steady can be very helpful with epiphanies, with sudden awakenings, with sudden insight, with sudden decisions, you know. And if you have strong Taurus in your chart, like, I mean, yeah, it's been earth crumbling, like lots of foundational stuff is cracking. It's, you know, new seeds are sprouting. And that's really, you know, let's be honest, like that is what this Taurus season has felt like. And although we wanted the nourishment and the slowdown from April, we got that, you know, but sometimes that slowdown's a fucking thud. It's like, whoa, I've really come back down to earth. Whoa, this is heavy. Whoa, this is intense. Whoa, this is, you know, I'm feeling blocked. I'm feeling stagnant. And so the shift into Gemini season with one planet at a time feels really significant. It always does, but because Jupiter is moving into Gemini for the first time in 12 years, there's something else that's bringing, yes, the bigger, brighter, bolder, you know, breath of fresh air in to really blow the cobwebs out. Even if those cobwebs are exciting, you know, even if what is being manifested and weaved and planted in the fertile soil, even if it feels really magical, darlings, but then there's just this energy that's like a little bit like, well, where's the blessings? Like, what? It hasn't happened for me. Please be patient, because this is a 14-year cycle, and parts of this journey will be uncovered. Parts will be exposed like a babushka doll. It's not just getting it and going straight to that center doll. It is the unveiling. And so things are unfurling, things are unfolding. It's visceral. I can feel it in the air. And now we have the winged, you know, the winged messenger of Hermes come in, sovereign, trickster, powerful in his delivery, to deliver us some messages over this next season. And he is joined with the benefics. So this is luscious. This is rare. This doesn't happen all the time. So we want to really drink this in. So enjoy the freshness, enjoy the fresh air. And if things have felt a little bit heavy and stagnant and stuck and limiting, and you've felt inhibited, whether it's by external situations, circumstances, physically, emotionally, by your job, by your whatever it is, like, allow this freshness to come in, shake it off. You know, I just feel like if I could just jump around right now, I would, but I've got my headphones in. I'm actually still in my dressing gown, and it is 10:30 in the morning, and you know, 10:30 in the morning, and I'm still in my dressing gown. But it's just been one of those very slow mornings where I've been reading and, you know, just doing all the things. So allow this fresh, mutable, changeable energy to come in and shift some perspective, shift some stagnant energy, shift what's sort of feeling a little bit clunky, because the growth is here. The rewards, the seeds, it's all going to happen. Patience, darlings, patience, my precious friends. You know, this isn't, as I said last week, probably in the podcast, or I've said it somewhere, who knows, I've done a lot of talking. You know, you can't plant the seed and get the fruit the next day. Okay. So interestingly enough, I'm going to read this symbol now, 12 minutes into prepping for it, as I do, as you're used to. I've got my beautiful Ruby record keeper here, because Ruby, for some reason, just feels very Sagittarius for me. You know, I feel like it's the spiritual warrior crystal, Ruby. And if you get the record keepers, there's some real connections back to Atlantis. And I just sort of, it's literally the same color as my bloody dressing gown that I'm wearing too. Anyway, so back to it, darlings, you know, so ultimately this Jupiterian kiss, bow out, tipping his hat to the year that was. I mean, I think, you know, Taurus deserves this. Come on, you know, like this is the last couple of seasons have been pretty big for us all. And Taurus gets the luxy, bougie bow out. We're not in a, you know, this, all these hard aspects going on. Jupiter's literally at the final degree, the anaretic degree, 29 Taurus, where he's bowing out for 12 more years from this sign. And of course, Venus just happens to be there. Of course, Venus and Jupiter also just happen to be sextile Neptune. Neptune, the higher consciousness of God and love and creativity and the universe and inspiration. And like, this is really divine and sublime energies, darlings. And not only that, of course, we've got the full moon in Sagittarius, who is ruled by Jupiter, who is kissing Venus, who is, you know, about to move into Gemini. And there's something really luscious about these next few days. So I want to prep you. I want to love you. I want to love on you. I want to share the information. And again, it's not promised. You know, I think that, like I'm saying, you know, Jupiter isn't promised abundance, promised benefits, but in the long run it is. You know, remember that Jupiter expands. He amplifies what's going on. So we can't bypass our humanness. We can't bypass the brutality of what we may be going through. We can't bypass what's going on in the world. We can't bypass the grief. We can't bypass anything. We have to be in it. And so Jupiter may be exposing things to you, especially as he moves towards making a very fascinating and gorgeous trine to Pluto. And this full moon is a little bit of a lube up to this, I must say, because the full moon on the 23rd, here in Brisbane in the evening at around 11, what have I written here? 11, where have I written that? Oh my goodness, I've got like a whole lot of notes here and I can't even see where I've written the time. 11 something p.m. It's before midnight. It's just before midnight. I literally didn't write the time down. I'm looking at all my notes and I can't see. All I can see is glory, grace, expand. Glory to God, darling. Yes, anyway, so the full moon in Sag, ruled by Jupiter, is making a sextile to Pluto. Then Jupiter is going to come in and trine Pluto. Now, Jupiter trine Pluto's a lot bigger than the moon sextiling Pluto. The moon has her phases with Pluto where she hits Pluto every month. Then she sextiles, then she trines, then she opposes, then she squares. Like, this is a part of her cycle. But the fact that it's a full moon, there's something really abundant and magical here, but like a little bit of an insight as to Jupiter, who is the ruler of the moon, who is just about to make this very glorious and rare trine to Pluto and Aquarius for the very first time. Jupiter in Gemini making a trine to Pluto and Aquarius for the first time in our entire lives. So this is history in the making. There's exposure happening. So maybe the bones of what is going on in your life needs to be exposed, or maybe there is some deeper lessons around, again, what is being exposed for you, what is being amplified. Jupiter will not just bestow gifts. He's not just coming to put gold in your lap and to clear the path, like to snowplow everything for you just so it's easy and effortless. Yeah, maybe he is, maybe he's not. It's different for everyone. What's going on in your own chart? This is supreme, the micro. What are the activations? Because not everyone's getting that touch of gold, that Midas touch. Yeah, but it's something that we can tap into when we've forgotten that we are fucking magical human beings, that we are miracles just because we are alive in this time, in this day and age, right now, in this moment. The fact that you are alive, how you even got here through war of grandparents, going back generations and generations and generations and generations of how those two people met. To conceive, to conceive, to conceive, to conceive, to conceive, and then you are here. Miracle. Miracle. The fact that we can look up and see stars burning millions of light years away. Miracle. Everything is a miracle. So I'm just inviting you to tap into that. I'm inviting you to tap in and to seek the joy, to seek the miracles, to seek that which you cannot maybe feel right now. Get up, put some music on, shift the energy that's maybe within your body, within your home, wherever that is for you. Yeah? Because wherever you go, darling, there you are, right? Like, this isn't about just flying on magical unicorns. Like, you can go to another country, you can go to another house, you can go to another relationship, you can go to another job, but the only thing that doesn't change is you. Unless you change. So it's when you change that your environment will change. Okay? This is something that I've always loved, is that I am not a product of my environment. My environment is a product of me. When I go into spaces, things change. So if you are a product of your environment, just think of how that sounds. This is literally like a line from The Departed. If you haven't watched The Departed, if you don't like violence, probably don't watch it. A little bit violent. I don't mind movies like that. Love a bit of Leonardo, Jack Nicholson, have at it. But it was one of the first lines, I think, in the first scene, and I wrote it down from the moment I seen it. And I've used it. I think I've even put it in one of my kits before because it's such a great line. I am not a product of my environment. My environment is a product of me. And when you take that power back, and when you then become that, it's life-changing. It is life-changing. So I'm wanting to inspire you with this today. And of course, in full, in full moon in Sagittarius glory, that's what I want to do. But let's read let's read this symbol, because Jupiter and Venus, the last degree, their final hit for 12 years. I really want you to reflect. What has this 12 months seeded for you? I did ask this question in an Instagram poll, I don't know, a week ago or something like that, just to help you to remember. Jupiter, planet of expansion, growth, wisdom, teaching, understanding, views, philosophies, learning, experiences. Moving through a certain area in your chart, a house, which is a theme in your life, an area in your life. This could be relationships. How have your relationships grown, expanded? Like, what's happened there? What about your job? What about, what, maybe it's yourself. Maybe you've got a Taurus rising. So this has really changed you as a person, your perspectives. Maybe it's changed your body. Maybe you got into some better health habits, or maybe you gained a couple of kgs. Like, it is Jupiter. Jupiter can expand the body. So even if he was in your sixth house, perhaps. Yeah. So too much of a good thing. This is Jupiter in Taurus. But we can reflect on what's actually happened. And now, with both of the benefics in this sign, which what I really love about this Gemini season, like I said, is these new messages coming through to give us space to clear the decks a little bit, to aerate. That's how I see it. It's sort of like aerating a new flower bed, or a new you're planting something in the ground. If you don't aerate it, then we can't get movement and growth. If it's too compact, and I feel like this Taurus season has been too compact. It's been very pressed. It's been very Taurus. It's been very held. Yeah. And I don't want to say stuck, because I don't believe that it's stuck energy. I believe that it's energy that needs to be exactly as it is. I trust that process. I'm not trying to force anything. I'm not trying to make something happen. I'm allowing the Jupiter Uranus to continue to evolve. We're going to see some incredible things now, as Jupiter moves into Gemini, and then next year Cancer, then that Jupiter will, and then Uranus moves into Gemini. So much is shifting, darlings. So much is shifting, but I'm loving this air. We're going to have Jupiter and Venus also both move into Gemini. And again, come together, moving into Gemini. Like, this itself is also really beautiful. And it's going to feel very different to the Jupiter and Venus that we've just had in fixed Earth. We're going to shake it out a little bit, like play, have some fun, get curious, get spontaneous, be a little bit fucking flighty. Yeah, I give you permission. Just be a little bit flighty if you need to. Yeah. It's really divine energy. Okay. And it's very necessary. So let's read the final degree of Taurus. Straight away, I'm excited because the first word is snakes. Actually, I'm just going to have a quick little sip of water. That was a big, big, big guzzle of water, because I've just talked for 23 minutes without nearly taking a breath, darlings. Okay, so the final degree, which is where Jupiter and Venus are on the 23rd of May. Jupiter ruling the full moon in Sag. Yeah. So snakes at rest on a rock in the sun. And my beautiful friend Danny has just her snake has just shed her skin again, and I just, she was comparing it. If you follow Aura Maya, it used to be, Yantra Lab. Danny is a friend, a very good friend of mine, and you will hear her on the podcast, darlings. She is my next guest. I cannot wait. But yeah, her beautiful, beautiful snake has just shed her skin again, and she just had it on her Instagram page. And just the fact that, you know, the head comes off, the eyes, you can see where the jaw is, and that, and they've got to move out of that. Like, that process is just phenomenal. You know, it really is phenomenal when you really think about it. When you really go, imagine if I had to shed my skin every time I needed to grow. Of course, we've got our own energetic growing pains and things like that, but imagine, like, it's just so fascinating. Anyway, the sun is on my Mercury, darlings. I mean, I've got clients, and it's going to be fun, you know, working with my clients, because I'm just going to be chatty McChatChats, lady chatterly, going on a million tangents. So, snakes at rest on a rock in the sun, the final degree of Taurus. Remembering everything, living in retrospect, in touch and in tune with myriad pasts. You view these at leisure, lingeringly. Sometimes you go through them again in a very familiar fashion, and other times all you have to do is see it. But there are so many karmas, and everything feels like it is going to that it. So, sorry, I'm going to start that sentence again. But there are so many karmas, and everything feels like it has been going on forever. Hello, yes. A certain soul mood of nostalgia laced with regrets. The backward gaze cannot quite be shaken off, for mighty things have happened. As you ruminate upon all of it, you deeply, inwardly decide slowly and gradually your future. Okay, I'm going to read that sentence again. Sometimes reading these sentences, this is the first time I've read this, so I like to do that sometimes. Okay, so the backward gaze cannot quite be shaken off, for mighty things have happened. And as you ruminate upon all of it, you deeply, inwardly decide slowly and gradually your future and much about a larger future. Hello, yes. Just think, if you've got any planets at 29 degrees of Taurus, this is the symbol for that. And to think about this as the two benefics, and as Jupiter tipping his hat to Venus, literally as he kisses Venus with the full moon, he's bowing out to her gracefully. And this is around the future and a larger future. That is so perfect. With the keynote being whether you can come to a true affirmation of this earth process and journey, or whether instead you subtly curse or scorn what you are reviewing, simply because it is all too much, and it is so tempting to put it down or in its place, or to feel superior in a way that blights the future. I love this as a bow out, and it just rings so true in what you want to do as Jupiter sees his year out in Taurus. So I'll probably pop that on my full moon post in for Sagittarius, which hopefully I'll get up today or tomorrow. But I will pop that in, because that is a really great paragraph to reflect on as we reflect on the year that has been. Because we're not just reflecting on Taurus season, we're reflecting on a Taurus season like no other. We're reflecting on a Taurus season that sets up 14 years. This doesn't happen again. This won't happen again in our entire lives. Jupiter himself won't even be back in Taurus for 12 more years. So this is really interesting. And Uranus is about to leave Taurus for 84 years. You know, like, this is a big time. So this was the Taurus season of Taurus seasons. And I really did love that it said, what did it say? But there are so many karmas, and everything feels like it has been going on forever. And I've said this in a couple of my poddies too, that the Taurus season energetically, no, what was it? It was like there was a slowness but a fastness. You know, I was like, oh, how is it over already? Like, how is the date? How are we already at the 22nd of May of 2024? Like, that feels really Speedy Gonzales. Yet April went for 3 years, and then Taurus season went for, you know, there was something really fast about it. But then also, it's like everything's been going on forever. It's a paradox, isn't it? Time right now is very elusive. We're really jumping timelines in a real weird way. And to reflect back on a year is really important as we too see out Jupiter in our Taurus house. And like I said, Uranus is following, darlings. You know, Uranus gets into bloody Gemini next year, just for a moment, just for a brief moment, to give us a little bit of a taste. So this, you know, yeah, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. So I really, yeah, I really, really love this. And it feels like I want to be the snake resting on a rock in the sun. You too? You too? Maybe you don't want to be a snake, but, you know, May is the month of the snake. So it makes sense that that symbol ends with the snake. Yeah, the last degree of Taurus season. So obviously the sun's just passed over that. Jupiter and Venus are now there hitting each other. Venus moves into 00 Gemini on the 24th. Jupiter moves into 00 Gemini on the 26th. So can you feel it? Can you feel it? It's in the air. Change is in the air. So let's prep you for this. Let's prep us all for this beautiful Sag full moon. So ultimately, you know, I really did want to spend time talking about this Jupiter Venus conjunction at 29 degrees. Jupiter's ruling the Sagittarius full moon, which happens on the 23rd in the evening. The moon makes that beautiful exact sextile to Pluto, Pluto Lord of the Underworld, who's retrograde in Aquarius at 2 degrees. So for the first time, we've seen Pluto at 2 degrees of Aquarius. So it's sort of like we're, you know, a sextile is a gentle aspect, but there's an opportunity there. And for me, the opportunity here is running wild, is sort of breaking free a little bit. And if that means that you just invite or seek pleasure or seek joy or seek fun, if you need to seek it, that's okay. If you need to shake it out, that's okay. I really feel like there's this sort of cosmic wink that we're getting with, it's like, hey, you know, hey, girls, hey, guys, hey, you, hey, all of you, hey, humans, yeah, hey, terrestrials, hey, everyone, hey, magicians, right? Hey, you miraculous bloody being, I'm giving you a little wink, a little nudge to break yourself out of anything that's felt constrained or limiting. And even if it's just for a few moments, yeah, like even if it's not to escape, it's not like, I'm not saying go and drink and do drugs and take, you know, plant medicine to enlighten yourself. You know, no, that's not enlightenment. Yeah, it's okay to be human and to lean into the humanness that you are. This is like this welcoming something in, welcome in a fresh new energy. We know that every day is a unique day, but welcome in this fresh energy, this cosmic wink with a very confident, you know, nearly unaspected full moon in Sag. And as I've constantly banged on about, the new and the full moon in May really have been delightful. Sort of like we deserved them after all we've been through in April, right? So we're getting the benefics ruling both of the moons. Both of the benefics have been in Taurus, super happy. Jupiter's on his way out. You know, we've got that beautiful symbol of where Jupiter is. Jupiter's making that sextile to Neptune, Jupiter and Venus are, which is really lovely and inspiring and dreamy and creative. And it is a time to bliss out. It is a time to, it's like taking the heat out of stuff. Like if you're in like all this stuff, like gotta do, like, you know, you're adding fuel to the fire of whatever that may look like for you. This is just the permission slip to just go, hey, you know, let this Gemini, like this Gemini season shifts our first half of the year to the second half of the year vibe. Like shit's about to get real, baby. Like this is the change that maybe some people have been waiting for. This is the shift that is happening. Just think about what I shared earlier, is that fixed Earth, Venus in Taurus, the Sun in Taurus, Jupiter in Taurus, Uranus in Taurus, Mercury is also in Taurus Okay, so it's 50% of the sky was in Taurus, right? And so then we move to this mutable air, and these planets are following, you know. So for some of Gemini season, we look to Mercury. Well, we always look to Mercury because Mercury is the ruler of Gemini season. And Mercury is still in Taurus. So we're still going to be making, you know, solid decisions. We can still be methodical and organized. And, you know, we still might be slow on the uptake. You know, it's a bit of Mercury and Taurus thing, a little bit slow on the uptake. You know, it's not a quick wit going on with Mercury and Taurus, which is okay. They learn differently. They perceive differently. They're interacting, you know, the archetype interacts differently. Mercury in Taurus is slower. Yeah. And so that is a part of this Gemini season, which is nice because everything's about to get fast, fast paced. This Gemini season is going to be one of those Gemini seasons because Jupiter's here for the first time in 12 years. And if you don't already know, of course, I am, you know, absolutely doing a class on this. I just happened to be doing the class on the 5th of June when, you know, half the bloody sky is in Jupiter. So half the sky is in Jupiter, half the sky is in Gemini, including Jupiter, because our Jupiter house is what I'm sort of coining, and what I'm saying is, you know, the sacred key, the sacred divination to our future. It's holding sacred keys. That is Gemini, the psychopomp who delivers the messages from the underworld, but who is also a magician. Yes, he's a trickster. He is deceiving as well, like the fox. Cunning. Also discerning, curious, intelligent. And so the information that is infiltrated through our Gemini house is really, you know, in the spotlight. You know, it is a big part of our future. When Uranus shifts into Gemini next year, like, whoa, whatever is being discussed, like whatever is being invented at the moment and worked on at the moment and is about to be exposed over the next couple of years, like I can't even imagine. I mean, shit is getting wild. I literally just read that someone had an astrology reading through ChatGTP or whatever the hell it's called. I mean, I don't even know. I wouldn't even know how to do something like that because I wouldn't even know. What do you do? Google it or something? I've got no idea. But someone did an astrology reading and I'm just like, are you for real? Like, again, like moving away from human connection, moving away from a craft that is revered and has taken thousands of years and will still never, ever, ever be mastered by anyone because it's so nuanced and it's so deep and it's so layered. And every astrologer that you see is giving you a session through their lens. Some people have more information on X, Y, and Z. Others don't. Other people embody it. Other people are self-taught. Other people have gone, you know, and, you know, done clinical study for years. Other people use, you know, the friggin' Hollywood stars as chart references all the time. Everyone does it differently. And to even want to entertain the idea of an internet weird AI thing reading your chart for you. And I was blown away. I was just like, wow, that is just weird to me. Like that, it's not real. Like it's just not real. And that's what's really fascinating about it. And people are going to be like this. And this is the reality of what's real and what's not real. People are going to move into these unreal vortexes and spaces. And, you know, like those goggle things where all the things happen? I can't remember what they're called, but, you know, the things that you put on, you're living in a different fucking universe or whatever. I don't know. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be for some people, like the future generation, like that's going to be their normal. You know, it's literally going to be their normal. Yeah, there's some wild shit happening. So whatever's being, again, remember, we've just gone through a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Taurus, fixed earth, building, manifesting, you know, seeding things in the soil. So whatever is being sort of worked on behind the scenes over the next few years, especially when Uranus moves into Gemini, like, whoa, like, yeah, technology, information, like it is, yeah, it's next level. So to know and unpack and understand your Gemini house from what it's already been through as well, because we've had already the lube up and the prequel of some stuff in the Gemini house that I really want you to remember. We're going to reflect on. I want to talk about this in the class because it's a really important paving. It has been the pavers, and now Jupiter's going to move into Gemini. You know, Venus is going to have her Kazemi, her superior Kazemi, where she is the furthest away from the Earth in Gemini in June. Yeah. Where she is sort of like at her halfway point of her own cycle, okay, before she goes back to retrograde, which will be early next year. Then she makes her retrograde and she hits the sun and she begins her whole new cycle again. So this is, you know, Venus is cycles within cycles within cycles. She has like an 18-month cycle and she has a 4-year cycle and she has an 8-year cycle. Like she has all of these little cycles that she's doing. Because remember, she only retrogrades in certain signs of the zodiac. Whereas we see all other planets, they'll retrograde in every sign. Whereas for Venus, she doesn't because of her, you know, because of her, obviously her, the way that the patterning is actually, I'm questioning that myself. I'm like, that's something to really get curious about. Because of the way the 4-year cycles go. It's really quite fascinating that beautiful Venus petal. But yeah, I'm sitting here curious going, sometimes I don't ask questions, and that's a really good question. She actually did just move into a new sign after hundreds of years as a part of her retrograde, whereas she's going to start moving. Yeah. So there's also hundreds of year cycles. So it's a lot, it's layered, it's complex, it's a lot. Get curious. I'm curious. And we keep discovering things, but ultimately Venus is going to make her superior conjunction to the sun also in Gemini. So a lot is going on in Gemini. Yeah. So I have put together, well, you know, I'm writing, as only a Mercury in Gemini person does. I will have all, you know, so much information, but I'm excited to dive into this Gemini house to not only get, yes, the Jupiter in Gemini year ahead, but also Uranus, you know, moving into Gemini for the first time in how long? 84 years in the 1940s. So big time, big time. So yes, that's coming up. You can obviously, it's on my website, tiani.com.au, and you can come and join us live for that. I was just interrupted with a phone call then, that I will have to get back to. So ultimately, Sag full moon, expand, have fun, run wild, let go, you know, let go like the wild Brumby, whatever you are holding in your body, in your mind, in your heart, let it go. And it, like I said, even if that's for a moment, and it's not about, like I said, escapism, it's not about suppressing, it's about choosing to let go and to be free, to free the heart, to free the mind, to free the body, to free the energy up, which is absolutely what this expansive, confident, optimistic full moon in Sag is doing. Yeah. He really is illuminating. So remember that the full moon, yes, it can be, yes, absolutely, it's around letting go, but it's around that, again, that illumination, bringing light and bringing energy. It's where she's at her, you know, she's pregnant with potential. She's at her fullest. She's glowing, you know, as she wanes and waxes where there's darkness. It's like, how dark is she? How light is she? How much light is being exposed? Remember that we are only seeing the moon because of the sun, because of the alignment of the sun, the moon and the sun, right? I'm like really challenging my astronomical mind, and literally like, I'm just like getting this filter over my eyes going, oh my God, astronomy, which I know some of, but sometimes I just, you know, sometimes I'm like, what am I actually thinking about here? What am I trying to say? So ultimately, but what a full moon is, darlings, is the sun and the moon are in opposite signs. So they are opposite one another. So the sun can fully illuminate. So the moon can be fully illuminated by the sun. Obviously the sun doesn't move. So the moon in her journey, she waxes and wanes, and she does that as she moves around the earth. But because of Without the sun, we don't see her light up at all. She is always dark. So a full moon always means that the moon will be in the opposite sign to what the sun is in. So we know that the sun has just moved into Gemini, which means the full moon has to be in Sagittarius. And so when you start to track the moon and you can look up at her at any given time and pretty much nearly know what sign she's in or what she's doing just by looking at her. It's a really great space. I remember when Gary Goldschneider told me about doing this back when I brought him out to Australia. God bless his soul. He has passed away now, but he was one of my first astrology teachers back when I was a child. And he does all the deacon stuff. So that's, I learnt a lot of deacon work when I was a teenager. That was sort of course, I don't, I'm not, I wasn't just a sun sign astrologer when I was a teenager. I was like, look at the deacon, like look at the tarot, look at this. Like that is where I actually started with astrology because of Gary. So ultimately, when he was like, no, you want to be able to look at the moon without any apps, without anything, and know exactly, what part of her cycle she's in and what sign she would be in. I mean, look, you might get the degree a little bit wrong. Like you could think that, she's in Sagittarius when she's just finishing in Scorpio, something like that. But you can see by just, obviously when she's a first quarter, that she is in. So we've got Gemini season. So the first quarter moon then will be when the moon moves into, so what are we in Gemini? Then we've got Sag. That's the opposition, and then Sag to Pisces. Yes, Pisces. I'm like literally like mapping it out in my head. I'm such a visual person. So when the moon moves into Pisces and is waning from the full moon in Sag, then she will be the third quarter moon in Pisces, and we can look at the sky and see that she's a third quarter moon. And then that means that the moon and the sun are in square to one another. So you start to get these cycles. And of course, the squares and the oppositions are the easiest things to look at because it's very visible. That was a tiny little lesson for you. But anyway, we only see a full moon because of the sun. So we've got to remember that, yes, whilst it can be about purging and letting go, really the 2 weeks from the full moon to the new moon is a continual let go, especially that third quarter moon. And as the third quarter moon goes into that balsamic, and then we hit that dark moon before the new moon pops. So realistically, the full moon is her at her full glory. And in Sagittarius, with Jupiter the ruler conjunct Venus, this is glory to God. This is the Midas touch. And I really want to invite you to, like I said, seek joy, seek pleasure, invite some freedom, take the heat out of maybe whatever's going on in your life. Have some fun. And really, I hope to invite you to do that throughout Gemini season because we really need this lightness and a bit of play and a bit of spontaneity, perhaps just a bit of fun. It's Sag. Sag is fun. Sag is adventurous. Sag is, optimistic about the future, right? So yeah, I really, really want to just like, I just feel like I almost want to touch, maybe you can just visualize me touching your third eye, like, and there's just a star. Oh, I really feel that then. I hope that you felt that. So I'm just doing like a little, I'm actually doing it. Like I'm moving my left hand in a little way, and I'm just touching your forehead, like a little kiss, a little benefic kiss from my Venus in Taurus, from the Venus in Taurus as Venus, makes her way into Gemini from the 24th, and that pleasure seeking becomes a lot more playful and fun and curious as well, and lighthearted and flitty like the butterfly, which is necessary. Enjoy the messages of the wind, enjoy being outside. Getting your feet on the ground. And again, like I said, like I feel like I'm going to get up and just sort of shake it out. I am going to go and have another coffee, but it's just like shake it out, release, shake any stagnancy out of the body, be a portal of joy, enter a portal of joy. Remember that, you are not the product of your environment, that your environment is the product of you. Glory to God, all of this delicious energy, darlings. Pay attention to the messages that are being delivered. This is Hermes land. The Eight of Wands is the card that is connected to this Sagittarius full moon at 2 degrees, which is the first decan of Sag, which happens to be a Mercury ruled decan, with the Magician card and the Eight of Wands, which is around opportunities and fast and movement and manifesting and swift fleeting moments of alignment. And if something lands, you know, take it, because if you don't take it, it'll go. So this is a really, it's a really optimistic full moon in Sag, which I think really, again, touches into all the work we've done in Taurus season. So I'm going to love you and leave you there, because I feel like I'm just banging on now. And I wish you a bloody brilliant few days ahead. Honestly, Venus, full moon in Sag, 23rd, Jupiter exactly conjunct Venus at 29, Taurus, 23rd, Venus into Gemini, 24th, Jupiter into Gemini, 26th of May. And then we are, like, you know, closing out May, and June will be upon us. So journey well and be wild like the Brumby. So much love.